Is This a Ghost is sponsored by Smart Labels.
Yes!
The folks at Smart Labels are back. And if you listened last week, then you know that you should have signed up for our mailing list, because any minute now, you are going to find an email that explains to you how you can potentially win a free pack of Smart Labels from the folks behind Smart Labels, mm-hmm. from a little company called Smart Labels.
And this isn't one of these Elon Musk lotteries either, where we already know who's going to win before we start it. Not one of those things.
And no one will be called to court on a Tuesday for this. Exactly. Not a single person. This is all above board, on the up and up, done very professionally and very well. And so check it out. And if you have not, if you're listening to this and you're like, what is Smart Labels? Never heard of this. Well, welcome to the show, friends. And Smart Labels are a really, really, truly fantastic product. It's these color-coded QR code stickers that you can slap on your boxes. You can put them on, I don't know, other stuff too. You can put them on your car.
Sure.
Remember which garage you parked in.
A lot of cars, don't know where they are. You could shave on your dog, like a square spot on your dog, just right there.
I will say, I'm going to flag that one, Pat, because I did finally get a note from David, who made a really, really strong point to the last couple of ads that we've made, which is they don't have GPS in them.
Oh.
So if your dog runs around, it doesn't. And we, I think we did inadvertently perhaps give that. That
you know what you do. Here
that,
you go.
That sense.
Life hack right here. The Smart Label, it's not so big. It's maybe what, 3-4 inches square, something like that. You put an air tag on the back side of the Smart Label, stick it there, then on the dog.
Technological poof. Synergy. Poof. Okay. Great.
Don't worry, David from Smart Labels. Tim Cook is going to be calling real soon.
Don't worry, we're also promoting someone else's product instead. But you know what? If you want to remember where you left your car at the airport when you're going for your holiday travels, you put a Smart Label right in your car. You scan it and you say lot C4, lot C4, and then when you land back at the airport at the end of the holiday season, you open the app, you say car, type car in there. What's going to come up? C4.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. If you don't remember what elevator you took to get to C4, put a Smart Label right in the elevator. Yeah, they don't mind.
There's
100 stickers on there already. They really don't give a shit. It's fine.
They love it. We at our house, actually, we just put away our Halloween stuff. It's we're recording this November 4th, so we put away our Halloween stuff earlier this week and immediately decked out the house for Christmas.
Nice.
Because we have small children who demanded it, and I'll be honest, I was kind of on board. But we swapped out all our holiday stuff, and we this is a new house for us, so we didn't, you know, we're not used to the storage situation, so you know, we don't have like a normal place for our skeletons to go, for example. So we just put Smart Labels and everything. We scanned it with the app. We said this is going in this crawl space, and now next year when we're ready to pull them back out, we're gonna know exactly where to find those skeletons. Love Smart Labels. Good stuff. We'll help you find your dog if you pair it with an AirTag, I guess, which is the idea we're workshopping. We're workshopping it. It's fine.
You may want to laminate something in there, too. I don't know. You may want to just laminate the whole dog. You don't really want any of that stuff.
Yeah. Now, you're going to need a big laminator for that one. You're going to need a big machine, and hopefully one that's not too squishy. It doesn't squish too much.
Next week will be brought to you by dog laminators, which we didn't know existed until this very moment when we reached out.
And just got this in from the future. Wow, the CEOs of dog laminators are Patrick Dean and Clayton Smith. What were the odds? Anyway, we love Smart Labels. Thank you to Smart Labels for your support. And if you haven't tried them yet, this is the time. I mean, this is peak organizational season for all your holiday needs. So go check them out. Go to Amazon, type in Smart Labels, all one word. You'll find them. They got some great colors. They got some great, stickers. They stick great. They stick so good. And Patrick, anything else about Smart Labels?
No, you're right. They stick real good. I haven't had one not stick yet. So real excited about
perfect.
It.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week that's a cat. No, that is a cat.
That wasn't a ghost.
That's a different podcast.
But it was spooky. It was a cat. I admit.
I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously.
But has a real cat right there.
Has a real cat who spooks him a whole lot.
Oof.
Is that Lewis?
That's Vince right there. Yeah.
Oh, Vince.
Yeah. They take turns.
That's Lewis.
They take turns being the real asshole. The other one's probably snuggling with Amy upstairs, and this one's down here messing with me. And then they'll switch at about the half-hour mark. Yeah. So I'll let you know.
Do they snuggle with you ever? Do you ever get snuggles?
Yeah, actually they do. Unless Amy's at home. If Amy's not home and the girls aren't home, and you know, I've like piled garbage on all the couches so they don't have anywhere else to sit, and then I sit on the garbage, they'll snuggle with me then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I mean, I've known your family for a long time. That all that checks out. Makes a lot of sense.
I have to actually put up those little like plastic upside down icicle things they put on buildings so that birds don't nest there.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so I put those all over my house so the cats don't have anywhere to snuggle.
There's literally one, like, 3-foot by 2-foot spot.
Exactly.
Without that. And that's my lap. Where your butt fits.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Exactly. So, works out well.
Good thinking.
Brought to you by the people that brought you dog laminators.
Cat spikes. Coming in hot. Boy, so as we are recording this, it is the day before the election here in America, and I'll tell you, anxiety is at an all-time high.
I stopped counting how many deep breaths I took today. It's
I haven't stopped drinking since Wednesday. It's how you feeling? Feeling good? Feeling good?
Just great. Just awesome. Awesome and good. Awesome and good. If I had a nickel for every Xanax consumed in the United States today,
oh my God,
a bunch of nickels. I could buy a lot of Xanax with that nickels.
Oh, what a time to be alive, huh?
For now.
Someday we'll tell our grandchildren about this if we live long enough to have grandchildren. Who are you voting for?
Oh, you mean like down the ballot?
No, top of the ballot.
Oh, Kamala. Right.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just checking.
Yeah. Yeah. It was
that. I know you send a lot of memes, but, you know, that doesn't mean anything.
Exactly. It was that or Jill Stein, but I see that a lot of her money is now coming from, like, Eastern European oligarchs, so for whatever reason. So I think I'm maybe off the Jill Stein.
Oh, man. I know. That's tough. I know you were really pulling for Jill Stein.
Oh, no.
I saw a news story today. God, on which platform was on? But there are all these people who voted early for Jill Stein, and like now there's, you know, some slightly new but not very new information coming out about details about the you know, the funding coming from overseas and stuff. And there's all these folks who were like, "Well, if I'd have known that, I would never would have voted for her." It's like I don't know why you did vote for her. Like, this is not you can't express, you know, buyer's remorse at this point.
Oh
man. What should we talk about today?
Oh boy, anything and everything. We have pneumonia in the house. I don't have it, but there is pneumonia. Amy has pneumonia,
and the cat's still snuggling with her.
I know, they're sickos. I think they want it too, frankly. You got these little just in case tiny
tomorrow goes badly.
Like half dollar size lungs, and they just want the pneumonia in it so bad.
They know it could be coming down the pike. They know.
So yeah, so she's on bed rest right now. Really exciting for everybody. Pneumonia.
That's a big one.
Yeah, that's the she may have to go into the iron lung pretty soon, from what I understand.
I think that's the next step for sure. Yeah,
I don't know where we're gonna put that. Maybe down here.
Probably down here. Next week, it's just aiming an iron lung behind you.
Jeremy's gonna have to develop like a whole new filter for like the.
On the good side, our YouTube views are going to go through the roof.
Absolutely. I'm going to have
it's
a little
be a great week for YouTube.
Have the GoFundMe QR code right up over my shoulder right there. My wife and her iron lung.
Oh, man. What are you drinking tonight?
I don't know. It's a green one. What the fuck is this? Munich Helles from Schlafly. I don't know. It's whatever Aldi has on sale. It's fine. Okay. It's totally fine.
Is it doing the trick for you? Is it allaying your concerns about
not really
the future of the world?
Not really. But last week I poured myself too big a glass of Four Roses and I was sick for 3 days. So I figure maybe don't do that again.
Maybe. Or maybe your body's adjusting.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe what you need now is a big old glass of Four Roses every night.
Exactly. Just keep a nice buzz on throughout the day. Kind of like a little, just like the waves of the ocean bobbing along every few hours.
I'll tell you, once again, tomorrow you're going to, you might want that. You might want that.
Yeah, I might. I might, like, the whole time.
Did you vote earlier? Are you voting tomorrow?
I'm voting tomorrow. I like the process. I like the waiting. It's weird, I like the waiting in line in the rain.
I love to get in 3 hours. Yeah. It's weird, but I do. I do too. We're thinking of bringing.
The other thing is, you know, your work has to let you off to vote. Like, that's literally the law.
And so your work does, because they think you're going to vote for Trump.
Well, legally, they can't tell me no. So all these people are saying, well, yeah, but I don't want to. You know, I'm going to go wait in line this weekend. I'm like, you're going to wait in line for like two or three hours.
That's your time?
At a library getting screamed at by people in pickup trucks when you could just take 3 hours off work and sit there with your AirPods on listening to podcasts.
Are you not salaried? I don't understand this.
I really don't know what to tell you here. Very easy decision.
I'm curious to find out how long the lines are here in rural Virginia for voting. Well, it could, you know, who knows, but... The polls here open at 6, so we're thinking about bringing the girls, just so they can kind of, you know.
God, they love being up at 6 a.m., don't they?
I mean, we're all going to be awake anyway, so you may as well then punish them for waking us up so early by making them stand in line for 2 hours. I don't know. It'd be fun to show them how democracy works at an age that they can't really process. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they'll internalize it, maybe.
Sure, yeah. Last time we did that was 2016, and I don't think we're doing that again.
That's bad luck. That's bad luck.
Yeah, I don't think we're doing that one again.
Yeah, don't. Okay. Well, anything else you want to... no, you're shaking your head already.
I'm good. I'm ready. No, I'm ready to rock. Nothing to plug.
All right. Well, would you like to hear a ghost story?
Please. Please, God. just so everyone knows, because again, Jeremy's sound mixing is excellent. That is not me making the sound every time. That is a button. That is a button.
That is the best button. The best button. Okay, and I want to say thank you to one of our listeners, Terry Paulin, I think is potentially how you pronounce that last name, though maybe not. But thank you, Terry, for suggesting this story. It's a good one, and I appreciate the help. And I need all the help I can get. And hey, if you have a good ghost story that you would like to hear on Is This a Ghost, you can send it to us. You can email it at hello@isthisaghost.com. Mm-hmm. What else? You can go to our website. There's like a whole place where you can submit that stuff. I'm just gonna pour this in here because it's been
You can look up Clayton's email address at the university works at. You can send him stuff there.
Fuck off. You can send him mail there if you want. Because that is exactly how I got a stalker once, and you know that. And that's not a joke, friends. Have I told the story about Charles Murphy?
Yeah, you
sure. So that's how we get Charles Murphy. So please do not go to my website of my university and find my email. You could I just told you the ghost. Listen, I'll let you know a secret. I'm the one who checks that ghost email. So just do that. It's like emailing me directly. Or you can email patrick@patrick.com. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And that one probably
anything
goes to
is possible at patrick.com.
Ooh, I don't like that. All right, but thank you, Terry. And here we go. Balthazar Kreischer. That's a strong name.
That is a very strong name. That's one you happily spell for people. Yeah, I would like to spell that, actually.
As a matter of fact, yes, I would.
Let me write it down, in fact.
Did you ever consider calling any of your girls Balthazar?
As a middle name, yeah, but not as a first name. No.
How'd it work out?
I was unsuccessful 3 times out of 3. Yeah, but
maybe number 4 is fingers crossed.
Maybe.
Yeah. He's going to try again?
No, you're talking about the cats, right? I'll call one of the cats Balthazar. Yeah.
Balthazar is a powerful cat name.
It really is. That's
very good.
That's the kind of name where, like, if you walk into a house and somebody's like, oh, that's my cat Balthazar. Like, that cat chose you, didn't he? How did you know?
You're the familiar in this situation, aren't you? Okay. So Balthazar Kreischer was born on March 13th, 1813, in a small German village called Hornbach.
Ah.
At a pretty young age, he was apprenticed to a stonecutter and a sculptor, because his grandfather was a stonecutter.
Okay.
And maybe his father, too.
Maybe, like, skips a generation. Stonecutting male pattern baldness, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, same. He got pretty good at it. And so he's just over in Germany being a good stone cutter.
Sure. Yeah. Living the life.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Good work stone cutting in the 19th century. Meanwhile, over in New York City. Did you? You okay?
Pretty good, huh?
Pretty good.
Pretty good mute button right there.
Pretty good sneeze mute.
I caught the. Hang on. I got another coming. You're good. You're fine.
You're saving Jeremy so much work right now. I'm sure he appreciates it.
Buddy, I'm saving the microphone cleaner so much work right now is what I'm doing.
Microphone cleaner. Be serious. That microphone hasn't seen a towel since its day it was born. Is that how you clean microphones? It's a towel, right?
Shake it off at the end of the day. That's all I do. Yeah, just turn upside down in the shower and let it drip out.
You know what? This is making this is a different conversation, but I do think I have some thoughts about why your audio equipment is fucked up.
I think I get better every week. Get better every week.
I'm not supposed to shower with it. Anyway, meanwhile, over in New York City, the year is now 1835.
Oh, wait. It was a different year in New York City? I'm confused.
Yes.
I didn't understand.
The Atlantic Ocean, people don't know this. It's a big portal. It's a big time and space portal.
I misunderstood time zones for years, apparently.
Well, this is where they come from. Yeah, because people are like, we got to figure this out. Because every time I go to New York City, I am 30 years older than I was when I left. Now, in New York City in 1835, Balthazar Kreischer is 22 years old.
Okay.
All right. Now, he does not live in New York City.
Oh, just visiting. Seeing sights.
No. He's in Germany.
Oh, okay. Good.
You're getting it twisted. I don't know why.
He's in Germany, but New York City exists too.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Unrelated. All good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions?
No, I'm good. I'm ready to go.
Okay. In New York City, in 1835, while Balthazar Kreischer is 22 years old in a different part of the world.
Yes. While he is alive. Among others.
As some people were. On December 16th, 1835, in New York City, a gas pipe bursts inside a warehouse at 25 Merchant Street. And it's winter, so there's a coal stove going.
Okay.
So,
big boom.
There's fire burning. There's a gas pipe just going nuts. Big boom.
Makes sense.
Whole thing goes boom.
Yeah, the whole shebang.
Yes, quite literally. It is a shebang. Now this is a particularly bad day for a fire to start because there are gale force winds happening in New York.
Oh,
so these flames get pretty wild. Here's a quote. The conflagration was visible from Philadelphia.
Oh, that's not that far though. Like I thought Philly and New York were like really far, but they're just on the other side of whatever that river.
Actually, I think it's like 35 miles. It's not very far.
Yeah.
Still though, pretty good to see flames.
You don't want it. You don't want it to happen. But
you don't.
Not as impressive. If our friend Balthazar had seen them from Germany,
more now, that's a fire.
That's a fire.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's see. You're an engineer, so you probably know this. I don't have to tell you, but one thing that does a pretty good job of dousing fire is water.
Yes, water is on. It's on the list. It's on the approved list. Yeah,
yeah. And you, Patrick, you spent a lot of time in New York. Quite a bit.
Absolutely.
Of time. You know, then Manhattan is surrounded by what? By
water. Right. All sides. Yeah.
Water.
Just water
everywhere.
Yep. Up, down.
Got the East River. Right. Got the Hudson River. You got the ocean right there. Which is so lucky. So lucky. Water puts out fire. You got lots of water.
He's got to get it from A to B.
Yeah. Problem is, it's December 16th.
Oh, no.
And global warming is not here yet.
Oh, so they still had hard water. What do they call it back then, in those days?
Sorry, it's called ice.
Ice water. They had ice water.
Ice. Ice. So, bewitched water, I think they call it. Every year when the snow witch would come down from Canada and freeze the rivers, that's what happened here. So the East River, the Hudson River, they are frozen solid. So firefighters have to drill holes through the ice to get to the water. And then that water refreezes around the hoses and the pipes, which makes them totally useless.
And then they got to put those in the microwave and defrost them.
They had to go and they got to breathe on them a long time. Please stop.
Pull their tongues off of the hoses that they were licking to dare each other.
Which was hilarious.
It was but really funny.
But it was not the time. So they can't put out the fire because the water is freezing. And so long story short, it's a bad fire. Mm-hmm. Now I will note it's not Chicago fire bad.
Yeah. But you know, for New York, I bet they're really impressed.
Yeah, exactly. They think it's a big deal. Yeah. But it is a big fire and it burns over 1/3 of New York City.
Oh, that is a big fire.
It is big. However, I will say New York was a lot smaller back then.
Yeah. Like 6 horses were killed when this happened. And that was,
Yeah. And we honored the sacrifice of those brave horses, but could have been a lot worse.
Absolutely. Sure. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, Central Park was probably an actual just parkland, yeah. like just grass at this point. So it's not a third of the city burning is not what it would be like if a third of the city burned today.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it'd be on like all the news stations if a third of New York City burned down right now.
It would be a pretty big deal.
Even on election day, they would probably still be talking about it.
They're going to cut away for at least 30 seconds to talk about this, maybe 60. So that happens. Now, this has nothing to do with Balthazar Kreischer.
Yeah, he had nothing to do with this.
He was nowhere in sight. No. But suddenly, in New York City, there's a very great need to rebuild.
Oh.
And if you're going to rebuild buildings that are made of brick, got to have brick makers. And so way over in Germany, our friend Balthazar Kreischer smells a little bit of American opportunity. So he bops on over to NYC and he starts himself a brick making business.
Starts cashing him insurance checks.
What?
The insurance checks. From the
buildings that burned down?
Yeah, exactly.
That he didn't own?
Yeah. Well, no. Like from the insurance adjusters. Like they give you the money and then you go give it to somebody else.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay, that makes more sense. Yeah.
Sorry.
I thought you were suggesting that perhaps he orchestrated this all from Germany in order to cash it on insurance. Yeah. Yes, he registers immediately with all the insurance companies and they send a lot of business his way. Our boy does pretty well for himself. He's making a lot of brick. Laying a lot of brick in New York. He meets and marries a woman named Caroline Honchen.
Oh, man. I mean, if you're laying that much brick, you don't get married.
No.
Come on, man.
This is like 1837 though, so I don't know if marriage really is gonna preclude further bricklaying.
Plus back then we were still very squarely in the I don't know if I'm gonna die tomorrow from like a stub toe, you know, type of living. So you grab on and you hang on anytime you find something.
That's true. And Caroline's family also was from Hornbach in Germany.
Oh,
so they had a lot in common.
Okay. Yeah, a little expat romance, I guess.
Yeah. Kreischer becomes known as one of the best builders in the entire city. He starts building up some wealth for himself. He's doing great. Then a few years later, he makes a pretty startling discovery. He finds some rare clay beds in New Jersey and Staten Island.
Okay. What is the clay bed for? Is this like an archaeological thing? Is this a natural resource thing? What is this here?
This is a natural resource thing. So he just finds that some of the ground, most of the ground in this area is not clay.
Right. This is dirt.
He finds some places where they're. Yeah. But he finds some good clay. And the reason this is important is because now, and I learned this for the first time taking these notes, now he can start making fire bricks.
Oh, yeah. It takes a long time in Minecraft to get to that point. So this is
a big upgrade. Not yet found the clay beds. This is the problem. So he can now make fire bricks. So you need clay in order to make bricks that are fireproof.
Right.
There
are bricks that aren't? I'm a little confused about bricks now.
I did spend a little time Googling this, and it seemed like a big rabbit hole I could have gone down. Bricks that are not fire bricks, they don't stand up well to fire. I don't know if that means like they crack and crumble.
That would make more sense as opposed to burn.
I don't think they like go up in flames.
Right, yeah. you never hear about like a big fire at the old cinder block factory. You know, it's just not a.
So, but he finds, so you need clay to make fire bricks. Now, fire bricks are in very high demand.
At this point, yes. Yeah.
Because I don't know if you recall, but the entire city just burned. So everyone's like, yes, please. Mm-hmm. And I find it so fascinating. Like, what? Why wouldn't you find it? Why are you rebuilding? Okay, so your city burns down, 30 of your city gone, mm-hmm. right? You're like, we need to rebuild. And now there is clay other places in the world. Like, you could find fire bricks.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're like, do you want to import fire bricks, or mm-hmm. do you just want to go with the bricks that will once again level your building if they get destroyed? Like, yeah, we're going to save a few pennies. Let's get those regular bricks.
Bricks are heavy, though. Like, moving bricks, it's really heavy. Really, like, if you fill a boat full of bricks, you'd be surprised how few bricks that is.
When we lived in St. Louis, I built, you may remember, I put together this like brick paver patio in our backyard.
Yeah, I even sat on it. That's how much I trusted it.
It was a nice little sitting spot.
Yeah, it was a good sitting spot.
It was not as even as if good people had made it, but exactly. And that's the standard that I live by. But those pavers all came from he's in construction, and he's a collector of materials.
Sure.
And so he's got just tons of piles of stuff, out of his shed. And so I was like, well, I'll get a bunch of bricks from here. And it took me like 5 trips out to get enough bricks for this little small patio, because they're so heavy. And like the Subaru is like, it's like I put 5 bricks on it. It's like, these tires are going to blow. So yes, they are heavy. That's true. Mm. It's a real problem. But anyway, so now they're in very high demand. Fire's no good, and everyone knows it. So now he can make fire bricks. So now he just like, I mean, he was already doing really well. Now it's just he's a rocket ship. He's just taken off. He forms a company called B. Kreischer & Sons Fire Brick Manufactory.
Okay.
Which I don't think is a word.
I mean, he's doing, it's a second language, you know.
That's true. I should not shame him. I'm sorry.
That's on me. If you give me 5 minutes to name a company in German, it wouldn't go over any better. I promise you.
Guten Tagen, fine.
Yeah.
Guten Tagen, fine. Yeah. So he builds this company on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, and he very quickly thereafter becomes a millionaire in 1840s terms. Mm-hmm. So he's doing great. And then at some point he also starts working in chemicals. So this was a little weird. This is like a little like one line, but he also for a while manufactured ultramarine pigment.
Oh, okay. Ultramarine pigment. I'm not entirely sure what that means.
Well, ultramarine. So this I do know from some other podcast, probably. Ultramarine is a shade of blue.
Oh, there was a time
in the 19th century where like it was discovered, and then people went fucking crazy for it.
Okay.
It was a really big deal.
Yeah.
And it's a great, you know, as far as shades of blue go, it's a great shade. Here, I'll just show you.
Yeah.
You'll love it. You'll go nuts.
It'll be my new favorite shade of blue. It will unseat cerulean.
What's your current favorite shade of blue?
Ooh, it is nice.
Good one.
It's nice. It's not cerulean, though. It's not quite cerulean. Right? So we'll have to agree to disagree on that one.
Okay,
but it's good. It's a good shade of blue. It's a good shade of blue.
Yeah. It's solid. It's very solid. Mm-hmm. I like it a lot.
I'd wear a shirt. Actually, it's the exact same blue as the Zoom button, so that's kind of interesting.
This fucking goes all the way down, doesn't it? Damn it. But anyway, I do know that. Yeah. So, this ultramarine was like a big deal. Like everyone, like all the rich people, wanted everything suddenly like in ultramarine blue. Like whatever.
Back in the days, like this story's from so long ago that people got excited about a new color back then.
Yeah, this is like a new iPhone drop, but color.
Remember how excited people got about the Beatles? What if the Beatles were just a different shade of blue?
What if the Beatles were just a slightly different shade of blue than all the other blues you had?
Yeah.
Go fucking crazy.
I'd like to see Ed Sullivan fill an hour with that shit.
So he's manufacturing ultramarine for a while. So he also does that. But I assume that makes him a lot of money also. But he's also got the bricks going. He's got the blue happening. He's just fucking, he's very rich. He's so rich that he eventually moves out of Manhattan, out to the place where I would say really all kind of rich, well-to-do, high-class New Yorkers go to enjoy their kind of upper-class lifestyle,
right,
and civility.
Yeah.
No, it? Staten Island.
Oh, Staten Island. Yes, absolutely.
You come to Staten Island, huh? Oh, you got blue? I got blue balls, yeah. Huh?
I'll show you blue. Well, that seems like maybe it was nicer then.
I'm going to say it's a very different Staten Island.
Maybe it was than uninhabited then. I don't know.
Oh. It actually probably was largely uninhabited, actually. He buys a lot of property out there. He builds a brand new factory for the bricks. He also builds two mansions.
Okay.
One for each of his sons.
Oh, that's weird.
You wouldn't build a mansion for each of your
kids? I'd make them live in the same mansion. I mean, do they not get along? Is that the problem?
Probably not. I assume not. I assume they don't.
Yeah.
They're both kind of heirs to a
pretty
major company. Do Eric and Don Jr. get along? No, come on.
It's started turning into a bit of a succession vibe here. I get it.
Very much so. Yeah. So he has two sons, Charles and Edward. And he builds a mansion for each of them. Now, we are going to focus specifically on Edward's mansion for reasons you can probably surmise because you've done this podcast before. This house is an American Queen Anne-style wood frame house. It's 2.5 stories tall.
Mm.
It is asymmetrically massed.
Okay.
It's mostly rectangular.
This doesn't sound like the favorite son. This sounds like the second son to me.
I'm going to show
asymmetric house, 2.5 stories for a mansion. I don't know.
I'm actually going to show you very shortly here a photo of both houses.
Okay.
Because they are right next door to each other. So I think Dad is.
How shitty would you feel if like we get along so poorly? Dad had to build two mansions for us.
But they are like 100 feet apart. So let's see. It's got, it's mostly rectangular, spacious verandas. It's got gables with jigsaw barge boards, which you always talk about how much you
love a gable with a jigsaw. I saw a house with one of those one time and I fell in love.
Yep, forever. Mm-hmm. It's got decorative railings, posts, and brackets.
Mm-hmm. My house has brackets too. Yeah. Not to brag, but my house has some brackets on it too.
Yeah, yours serve a different function, I think.
Yeah,
yours
holds up the satellite dish. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah. So it doesn't fall through and crack the iron lung.
Yeah.
Tall chimneys and a corner tower.
Mm.
And so here are the two
towers I'm into. Towers I dig.
Yeah, I mean towers are great.
Oh, okay. Yeah, those are literally right next door to each other.
This is very much very close.
Like a feuding brothers type setup of mansions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like an F. Scott Fitzgerald story playing out here on Staten Island for sure.
And I'm sure like the front doors and porches face opposite of one another so they don't have to see each other's mansions. Yeah.
Yeah.
So nice little setup.
Several sources call these identical mansions. Now, I have eyes and I can tell these are
not
identical.
The little spire, that's identical. That little like
that is identical. The tower,
like little widow's walk thing they got going on up there. That's identical. But
yeah,
that's all.
They're certainly they're similar. But this big house, this is not the one we're talking about. We are talking about this one that appears to be smaller.
Like I said, Edward.
Yeah, you might be onto something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Edward's house. Both very nice. They were, and I quote, profusely decorated. Which, if you could decorate your house profusely, What would you have that you don't currently have?
Oh, every room would be ultramarine. First off, like just wall to wall. Well,
obviously,
floor to ceiling,
a classicist. If nothing else,
everything would look like I had just put one of those like cleaning pucks in the back of the toilet tank. Every single room would look like that. That's probably all. What about you?
That's it.
Yeah, that's just, the whole thing. Just ultramarine up and down.
I think I don't know. I would do like a. I on either one big wall or maybe even like all four walls in a room. I would choose a room for sure where I'd do like a gold leaf map of like Gotham City or like Isla Nublar or something, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Like a really classy, nerd map.
I think, okay. If money's no object,
thing, hey, you got fire brick money.
Exactly.
Money is no object.
I would paint the interior of every room to be like, so the interior of a room we painted such that it appeared as if there were no walls in the room and you were just seeing all the way out to the, into the next room. And then you go to the next room and that would also be painted like you were looking back into the previous room and there were no people in it. It'd be like a Wile E. Coyote prank in every single room of the house, and you would just be walking into fake doors and fake walls.
Yeah. And that would be the goal, is to make people walk into
absolutely it. Trap yeah, them, yeah. Just trap them.
That's good. That's so good. And this is why the good Lord has not blessed you with a fortune.
You would squander it. Almost instantly.
Oh man. So anyway, so the houses are built. Everything's going great. Is everything going great there? Nope. And there he goes.
Sorry about
that. What is happening?
Cat eating a balloon. Yeah, my cat finds balloons around the house and he eats them. And then I yell at the kids for leaving balloons around the house.
Well, I was going to ask, why do you have balloons just kind of hanging around your house?
You know, I could point to 10,000 things in my basement and you could ask me why I have them and I wouldn't have an answer to any of them.
That's true. We don't have time for this podcast.
Yeah. I have an entire drawer full of balloons. I don't really know why, but the cats eat them. So I have to keep them out of the cat's mouth.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm good.
When you're young and you think about like what life is like for grownups, you don't think about things like I'll have to monitor this drawer full of balloons someday so that the cats don't eat them. That never enters a conversation.
Nope. You just think you get to eat out of Jimmy John's every day for lunch and you're like, yeah. I have to
quote unquote get to. I guess I do. All right, so this happens. The houses are built, the boys move in, everything's going great. Balthazar keeps on trucking. He becomes an originator of the Staten Island Railway in the 1860s.
Got to get them bricks to New York City somehow.
That's exactly right.
Remember, we've established they're heavy.
Yes, we sure have.
Airplane from Staten Island to New York? Bad idea with the brick in the brick business.
Subaru from Staten Island to Manhattan?
Even worse.
No.
No, sir. Carrying them by hand? Somehow better than the Subaru, but still not very good.
So everything's going great. He buys up even more clay beds in New Jersey, on Staten Island, and now in Pennsylvania. Ooh. He's a real titan of industry. He was also an original trustee of the Dry Dock Savings Bank.
Ooh. Interesting.
Yeah. Got his fingers in lots of pies.
Fingers in a lot of clay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that why you chose this?
Nope. I don't know. As soon as I don't like that now. I don't like it. No. You know what? This episode's over. Shutting this down. He also supported a variety of charitable organizations, including the Association for the Improvement of the Condition of the Poor of New York.
Feed the poor bricks. I've always said it. They will. They yearn for the bricks.
We have so many bricks. What will we do with these bricks? Let's give them to the poor. And here's a fun fact.
Wham!
Kreischer's daughter Louise married a man named Albert Steinway. Albert Steinway had a grandson named Frederick Steinway.
Mm-hmm.
Frederick Steinway studied in how to build pianos.
Ah.
And he is the Steinway of Steinway pianos.
This is the family that loves heavy shit. Honestly, like this is
just, yeah. Will one of you please just have like a feather farm, please?
I'm actually going to marry into the slate pool table business after this.
So if you are not familiar, Steinway pianos are like the piano. Mm-hmm. They are, you know, the absolute best. And that Steinway, that was Balthasar Kreischer's great grandson. Anyway, so Balthasar gets old, as some people mm-hmm. are wont to do.
Especially someone named Balthasar, like
that's a 300-year-old
yeah.
name for sure. and he dies eventually. He dies at home on August 25th, 1886. He has seven children, and he leaves each of them $300,000.
Mm. Chunk which right
today
there.
Yeah mm-hmm. today that's about 10 million each. Oof.
Woof. And two of them even have houses, so
yeah, the boys do. I mean the girls yep. can, you know, go kick rocks, but his sons manage the firebrick empire and it goes all pretty well. But in June of 1894, tragedy befalls his son Edward.
Oh.
Of small house fame.
Right, yeah. Is it a brick accident?
God, wouldn't that be something? Here is a headline from the New York Tribune. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to read this in order of
right, yeah.
headline. This mm-hmm. is, yep. With a bullet in his skull. Period. Mm-hmm. Next line. A wealthy resident of Staten Island ends his life. Next line,
mm-hmm.
the dead body of Edward R. Kreischer, and I will note, they spelled it wrong, found near the brickworks bearing his name.
Hmm.
So here's a quote from that story. Mr. Kreischer entered his office around about 8 o'clock in the morning. That says removing, but that's a typo. Mm-hmm. In the morning and made his usual tour of inspection. He appeared to be in excellent spirits and jested with several of his employees. They also spelled employees wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He walked down to the pier and stood for some time watching the unloading of a schooner. And this was the last time anyone saw him alive.
Think about sure. the guys on this schooner, like how guilty they must feel.
Probably pretty good. Yeah. 'Cause like, why is that creep watching us? Feels really uncomfortable.
Actors are probably like, man, I know I wasn't feeling it when I was unloading the schooner this morning, but I didn't think I was doing such a bad job that a millionaire was going to shoot himself in front of me.
Did I cause this?
So sorry. I dropped that box of bricks off of the schooner.
Was it because I was lollygagging? I was lollygagging with the bricks. I'm so sorry. This was the last time anyone saw him alive. And shortly after, Edward goes home and shoots himself in the right temple.
Mm-hmm.
And that does do him in.
Okay.
That's it for him. So Edward is gone, but his spirit, not forgotten. The ghost of Edward is often seen and heard in his house on Staten Island. Now, you have already seen an old photo mm-hmm. of that house.
Mm-hmm. Both houses.
I now yeah. present to you a contemporary photo of that house.
Whew. Okay. Still very scary.
Yeah, I would say scarier than it used to be. For sure. Now the other house, the brother's house, is gone. It was leveled. I don't remember why. Probably Edward did it.
Yep.
The ghost of Edward took that out.
It probably burned down because this house here, ironically, is clearly made of wood. So I don't know, is that make you more confident about the fire bricks? If the house you're living in is not made of fire bricks? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. But that's a house now. So that's Edward's house. His ghost is seen there. And Papa Balthasar is also sometimes seen wandering the halls of the house. And when he does so, he just looks mostly confused.
I swear to God, there were two houses. There were two fucking houses here before. I paid for two houses. Don't tell me I only paid for. I paid for two houses.
Hey, listen, where am I? And what? And listen, I'm telling the truth now. Come on. This is real. Hey. And also, where's the other house? There are also mysterious lights that seem to turn on inside the mansion and then float from room to room.
Ooh.
Stories of the haunting of this house are so well known that now there's a group called Slaughterhouse NYC.
That dude, their first album was fucking crazy. It was
fucking killer.
Oh my God.
Slaughterhouse NYC hosts an annual haunted house at the Kreischer Mansion. And I am pleased to announce to you, Patrick, I have some photos of that work.
Thank God.
Let's see here. Share this.
What am I looking at here?
I don't know.
Is that a person?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
That's a nurse. It's a scary nurse. It's a... It's the Batman scarecrow villain as a nurse, I guess.
Kind of, yeah. She looks kind of like a Cinnamon Toast Crunch mascot, though. I don't know. I don't really like this. This is a little gross. You know,
it's too delicious. Okay, let's see what's next.
Oh, Pigman. Classic like Pigman. I classic love Pigman. A good Pigman.
I've heard that about you.
Oh, okay.
Here's an Alice.
It's a little different, yeah.
Yeah, it's something. I don't know, dolls maybe?
Yeah, dolls torturing a horse. That's fine. This seems normal for...
Yeah.
Okay, electric chair.
Doing his thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like all this. All right, these are just children that are playing with...
Yeah, in front of an, I guess like a soft serve ice cream sign. Yeah.
I mean, I'm still buying the ice cream, but I am very concerned. Yeah. Pigman is back. Wonderful.
Pigman's back. Now, from this angle, that mask looks... ridiculous.
Yeah. So it's not a great pig mask from this angle.
Yeah.
This is better. Okay.
This is like a Nosferatu bat vampire sort of thing. That's good. Mm-hmm. This is the best picture, I think, in the
easily,
whole
easily, yes.
Bit. This is a nice, just nice no idea what's going on here.
Photo from inside of your pocket. Love that.
Uh-huh. Here's Paul Giamatti's ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And here's
I loved you in Sideways.
and this, whatever this is.
Yeah.
Anyway. So it's a haunted house, or at least was I checked. They actually, this is the last year that they are going to be able to do it at this house.
Oh, it's a terrible time for us to release this episode.
Yeah, not great. but that's it. So that happens there. Also, I did forget to mention the address of this building, this haunted house on Staten Island, is 4500 Arthur Kill Road.
Oh, okay. I mean, maybe that meant something different back then. I don't know.
Probably not. No. the story doesn't quite end there. The haunted history of this mansion has led to some interesting collaborations. So, for example, it was one of the filming locations for Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And because it's so popular, quite a few folks have been interested in the building. Ownership has changed hands a few times. And in 1998, the mansion was purchased by a man named Isaac Yomtovian.
Okay.
He handed management of the house over to a caretaker named Joseph Joe Black Young. Any questions so far?
No, I mean, you got Meet Joe Black managing the house now. Love that. Uh-huh. Brad Pitt, one of the best Brad Pitt movies.
Really. Yeah, just famously. I think that's what everyone talks about the most. So Joe Black, Joe Young was a hitman for the Bonanno crime family.
Oh, okay. And property manager? I don't know.
It's, uh-huh. Yeah, it's in this
economy, and I'm in the refuse business. Coincidentally,
in 2005, the Bonannos ordered Joe to get rid of a rival mob member named Robert McKelvey.
Mm-hmm.
So Joe invited McKelvey over to the house, where he did in fact murder him.
Okay,
He then dismembered the body and burned it in the basement furnace.
You definitely want to try and get rid of the body within the confines of the home that you are the property manager for. This seems like a great idea.
He's not a very good hitman, I think.
They're not sending their best and brightest nowadays out of hitman school, out of hitman U.
This will not surprise you, but Joe Young does go to jail for this in 2008.
That's a shame.
Yeah, yeah.
Good luck finding him on the alumni paperwork, hitman U.
So when you go to the Kreischer Mansion, the voices are Kreischer's, the apparitions are Kreischer's, but there are also screams coming from the basement. And those are pure uncut McKelvey, because his ghost is in that house.
I mean, it wouldn't say uncut. That was kind of the idea, unless he's very cut. Okay,
let's take that again. But the screams coming from the basement, those are pure super cut up McKelvey.
Let's watch the McKelvey supercut one last time. He walked out the door and he gave him the knob whacking of his life. Still proud of that.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be the and it was not. Anyway, so that is the story of the Kreischer Mansion out in Staten Island. And you can go there if you want, I guess.
Yeah, I definitely go to Staten Island if you want. It is an option.
Oh, yeah. You'll have a great time in Staten Island. It's the coolest people. and this has been another episode of Is This a Ghost? The notes this week were, in fact, taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our social media team is composed of, I got to find a better way to say that, Kai Valonis and Sam Murdoch. And I don't know, Pat, any final thoughts on this house?
Oof. I mean, anytime you get cut up in the basement and burned to pieces and you're the footnote of the story, not great. Not great for you.
Your life has drawn to a bad close. Mm-hmm. For sure. You made some bad choices and now you're reaping reaping what you sowed there. And you should stay out of basements. Absolutely. Do not get murdered or burned up.
Try and stay in one piece. Try and stay in one piece.
Yeah, collect your limbs and really hold them close to you, because if you don't, there's a really solid chance you might be the next ghost on Is This a Ghost?